but I found sing you a song. Make the hills resound, sing a Hiram's songbird. Look, look, look what I've found from nights of care and
tears. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Band leader Vince Giordano has a long history of leading audiences down memory lane. Since 1976, Giordano and his 11-man band, the Nighthawks, have played the pop music of the 1920s and 30s. And through this weekend, Vince is joined by the singer and pianist Daryl Sherman. She also specializes in the pop hits of the early and mid-20th century. Today, they're here in our studio, and they're going to start us off with a song, Snap Your Troubles and Dreams, associated with Bing Crosby. Here they are, Daryl Sherman and Vince Giordano, live.
When skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. So wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away.
Till that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. Wrap your troubles in dreams, dream your troubles away.
Now your castles may tumble, that's fate after all. Life's really funny that way. No use to grumble, smile as they fall. Weren't you king for a day, say?
Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. Wrap your troubles in dreams and dream your troubles away.
Now when skies are cloudy and gray, they're only gray for a day. If you just and dream your troubles away. Until that sunshine peeps through, there's only one thing to do. If you just and dream your troubles away. Take it, Miss Darrow. Just remember that sunshine always follows the rain. If you just and
dream your troubles away.
Well, it's a long way from hip hop, but that's a bit of classic American from the classic American songbook, a song associated with Bing Crosby, who recorded it in 1931. Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams. Vince Giordano, the band leader of the Nighthawks, here playing the bass, and Daryl Sherman playing our piano, both of them singing. And to the two of you, welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, great to be here.
Great to be back. Thanks for having us.
So the idea of Wrap Your Troubles in Dreams, 1931, the economy is down, and you know we're in the depths of depression and stuff. Why were these songs so optimistic and cheerful?
Well, I think that you just said it, that people lost their bank accounts, they lost their homes, and thank goodness we had a treasury of films. We had The World of Fred and Ginger to uplift us, to spark our imaginations, and then these songs of hope and happiness.
Mm-hmm. It was escape. I mean, people needed that. I mean, they had nothing else to cling to. So Hollywood and the recording industry and the radio industry, they knew that people were hurting.
Well, you know, it's funny because Jeff Chang was just talking about hyphy. You know, the kids are doing the sideshows on the streets of Oakland because they have nowhere else to go and nothing else to do. And it's funny how music can give you that kind of lifeline in so many different situations. Now, having said that, it's not 1931 anymore. It's 2006.
Right.
And people are talking about hyphy and snap and stuff like that. So where does the audience, this kind of continual renewal of an audience for this music come from?
Because people today still are living in troubled times. You know, you have but to put on a newscast, and I would much rather spend my day watching Fred and Ginger or a Bing Crosby movie. And also, I think the most important thing is that these songs, just like a classic navy blazer, they never go out of style. They're timeless. Mm-hmm. You know, 5 years from now or 20 years from now, no one's going to come over to me and ask me to play the Academy Award winner that...
Oh, come on. I'm writing an arrangement for that right now.
Yes.
Well, Vince, you actually do get called on by Hollywood from time to time to kind of make sure that period sounds are the way they're supposed to be and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I love to do that. We just did The Aviator, mm-hmm. and we did Finding Forrester, and I've worked as a sideman for some of... Dick Hyman's orchestra for the Woody Allen films.
Right. So now, are there, when you go to Hollywood, do you find there are certain preconceptions or misconceptions about the music of the 20s and 30s?
Oh, yeah, a lot. I mean, you watch a lot of old movies that came out, like the Doris Day movie
The Cole Porter movie?
No, the movie that Doris Day did about Ruth Etting.
Oh, Love Me or Leave Me.
Love Me or Leave Me, and which was back in the 50s. They completely revamped the music. It was nothing like 1920s and 30s kind of sound. The orchestration was crazy. My first movie that I was involved with, Cotton Club, the first score was completely... sounded like something out of the 60s, and they had to scrap that.
So how do you know? You weren't around back then. How do you know what it really sounded like? Is it records, scores?
Yeah, I have the records. I have over 30,000 arrangements. I have films.
This place is like a museum.
What do you mean, like a museum? It is a museum.
It is a museum.
I give Kleenexes for people to sneeze with all the dust.
And he even uses the vintage pronunciation. He calls Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, that's right. But actually, you know, I've never been to
that
Hollywood.
That might be a step too far, but
all right.
That's Vince.
But all the movies I've done were done here in New York, believe it or not.
Uh-huh.
I haven't yet to be called to go out there. I just seem to be in the right place at the right time for some of these vintage films. Thank goodness.
All right. Daryl, Vince is known for sort of, you know, capturing the way things sounded back then. What about you? Do you take a kind of a traditionalist approach too, or are you trying to do something a little different?
I don't like labels. I happen to love the treasury of songs between the 20s and probably up to maybe, you know, 45, 50. And that was mainly the repertoire that I use. But I found that in particular, the music of the 20s, Paul Whiteman, and then someone that I admire greatly, Mildred Bailey, from that period, the songs have their own light swing, and it's a subtle swing. There's a two-feel that you hear in society dancing, which is a very different two-feel from what you get in this particular music if it's played right.
When you say two-feel, you mean that like kind of double rhythm thing?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's subtle, and maybe because I identify with Mildred Bailey and she had this light, buoyant sound, and you just feel like you're just gliding on air, getting to sing or play with that music. And part of the time, I should say a lot of the time, I perform at the Waldorf Astoria, and I get to play on Cole Porter's vintage Steinway piano.
Mm.
And it's kind of like a Ouija board. It just pulls my fingers into playing night and day. So, you know, like, what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And we get people of all ages there.
We're speaking with pianist and singer Daryl Sherman and also with Vince Giordano, leader of the band The Nighthawks, who actually brought a couple of instruments into the studio. We heard you playing your bass.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I have ever seen a bass made out of metal, not out of wood.
Heavy metal. You know, we're very courant.
Well, very nice.
When I have my, at the Feinstein's, I have a tuba, I have my metal bass, and my bass saxophone, so I call it my heavy metal trio. Sure. See, I'm trying to keep up with your hip-hop.
he does.
Folks.
All right, but the next little ditty you're going to play for us, this is a novelty number, sort of an obscure piece by Duke Ellington.
That's correct. Daryl has unearthed this.
Yes, it was used in one of those lavish Cotton Club reviews, and I always tell the audiences that you can understand why they use this particular song, but it replaced a great Ellington hit, I Let a Song Go Out of My Heart, But when you hear us perform this song, you will understand why it has also remained in obscurity.
Way to sell it, Daryl. All right, let's hear a live performance. Daryl right. Sherman making her way back to our piano. And Vince, are you going to pick up the bass for this or the saxophone?
Both.
A little of both, he says. All right. Performing for us live here in our WNYC studio this afternoon on Soundcheck.
We're going to rename this Snap Time in Honolulu. I come from the land of fish and poi, where moonlight nights are the real McCoy. It's the land of paradise for a girl and boy. And you'll soon see why the palm trees shake when they start that rhythm quake and they greet you with aloha pei oi. It's always swing time in Honolulu, in Honolulu. It's always swing time. Natives are humming, guitars are strumming. It's always swing time in Honolulu. Oh, island that sings through the day. Oh, island where all lovers play. Oh, island that swings with a sway, with a wiki wacky wooma in aloha ikapua. Those beaches with sand snowy white. Those babies that love loving right. Those are babies that love living right beneath the yellow moon that's made of like a cello. It's always swing time in Honolulu, in Honolulu. It's always swing time. Natives are humming, guitars are strumming. It's always swing time in Honolulu. It's always swing time in Honolulu, in Honolulu. With the wiki wacky wooa and aloha ikapua.
From the mighty pen of Duke Ellington comes that, I don't know what that is. That's Swing Time in Honolulu, live performance in our studio by Vince Giordano, switching from the bass to the sax, back to the bass, and Daryl Sherman sticking with our piano and singing. So a goofy little tune that knocked out an Ellington classic.
An Ellington classic,
in this,
indeed.
In this show.
Hard to believe.
Now, another kind of difference in this music over the years is this right that New York City cabaret laws will not let people dance in clubs to this music right now?
That's correct. There's been many clubs that would have, the folks would have more fun if they could dance, but they can't because they don't have a cabaret license, and they could risk getting
being
a big fine.
Down.
I didn't realize that that was still happening. It's funny because people have been telling me after the show all this week that it just made them want to get up and dance, and at least I get to dance around a little bit on the stage.
Yeah.
In fact, and Vince dances with this bass saxophone. We have a little segment where it's just the two of us. I call the bass saxophone King Kong.
Mm. And for folks who've never seen a bass saxophone, dancing with a bass saxophone requires a certain amount of upper body strength.
Oh, I don't have to go to the gym. You know, I just play it.
So do you think, I mean, if the cabaret laws were changed, I mean, wouldn't people have danced to this music back in the day?
That's the whole point. This was the popular music of the day, mm-hmm. and people would dance their cares away on both sides of the Atlantic. And we in the show we give you some examples of that. We do some Ambrose, mm-hmm. people dance too, and we do Nightingale Sing in Berkeley Square. And yes, it was just everybody did this.
Yeah. So I mean, if people were again able to dance to this music, it seems to me that it'd be a lot easier of a sell to even a younger generation.
Correct.
Well,
so maybe Mr. Wright is out there and wants to open a club where we can play and dance, you know.
We're speaking with Vince Giordano and Daryl Sherman. Vince, last week on the show, we did a segment about digital archives at UCSB, University of California, Santa Barbara, where they've taken all these old Edison cylinders,
yes,
recordings from the 1890s to up until like almost 1920,
right,
made them available online. People can go, they can download them for free, put them on their iPods or whatever. It seems like, you know, that is another possible frontier for this music.
Oh,
the digital world.
Oh, definitely. I mean, there's more old music out today because of CDs. When I was coming up in the LP era, I mean, you'd have a reissue now and then, but you can get a lot of wonderful music on CDs. It's easier, it's faster, it's cleaner. So it's very positive that they're doing something like that, and hopefully there'll be more of this history out there that's easy to get. It's sort of like the Complete New Yorker that's out right now. You know, you can...
So do people like you have the capacity to go online and put, you know, MP3 files of favorite songs and kind of share them and get like a whole... I mean, is there anything like that to your knowledge on the internet now?
Yes, there is. There's a site called the Red Hot Jazz Archive that I tell a lot of people about. It's probably illegal, but you can listen to a lot of recordings that are important in the early days of jazz, the early Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, Louis Russell, Paul Whiteman, Big Spiderbeck, and on and on and on. And you can go right to those things and hear them. And it's a wonderful tool to expose people to this music.
And I think that's what's important also, that it's not necessarily nostalgia, particularly with people who are discovering this because it's finally available for the first time.
And it's not like, you know, it's only really old people who are singing this. I mean, Maud Maggart has been here, the sister of Fiona Apple. She's a great champion of this music now. So there's a young generation
There's definitely something to it if so many young people want to be involved in this music.
It's like classic music. You know, people are still playing Mozart and Brahms and Beethoven like hundreds of years after... You would think that music, you know, but no, it's great music, so let's keep doing it.
All right, and now it is online, so you do not, in fact, have to follow in Vince Giordano's footsteps and give over most of your living space to a record collection.
This is true.
Daryl and Vince, thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Daryl Sherman.
I like cake, that's no mistake. But baby, if you insist, I'll cut out cake just for your sake. Baby, come on, knock me a kiss. I like pie, hope to die. Just get a load of this. When you get high, I forget the pie. Baby, come on and knock me a kiss. When you press your lips to mine, 'twas then I understood they taste like candy, brandy and wine, peaches, bananas, everything good. I love jam and no flim flam. Scratch that off my list. This ain't no jam. The jam can scram. Baby, come on, knock me a kiss.
Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today is Rob Christensen. The program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatow, and our executive producer is Chris Bannon. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow for another Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.